This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The story of Nuh عليه السلام. After the time of Adam, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentioned, there was 10 centuries of people upon Tawheed, upon pure monotheism, pure La ilaha illallah. And then eventually the people fell into shirk. And Allah mentioned this in the Quran when He said, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ وَأَنزَلَ مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي مَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. That the people, they were one ummah. They were all upon one religion. And then Allah sent the prophets, مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ, as bringers of good tidings and warners. And He sent down with them the books, the scripture, for them to judge by truth. And when you look into the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and you see that all of them were on one message, on La ilaha illallah, what happened? How did they eventually fall into shirk? This is very important. When you diagnose the stories, you look into the stories of the prophets, not just to get information. We know it was 10 centuries and they fell into shirk. But why? How did they fall into shirk? This is what's important. In the story of Nuh alayhi salam, they had five the grandparents of the people of Nuh, from the other generations, there were five very pious people. And all of them, you know, were people who were upon Tawheed, and they used to encourage others to do good deeds, you know, feed the poor, take care of orphans and what have you. And Allah mentioned their names in Surah Nuh in verse 23, Wad, Suwa, Yaghuth, Ya'uq, wa Nasr. All of these were these famous five pious people. And what happened is that when they died, Shaytan inspired some of the people. And this is the khutwat of Shaytan. Pay attention. The footsteps of Shaytan, how he works. Shaytan doesn't come right away and just say, make shirk. Just like when it comes, for example, the person who fell into zina, into, you know, fornicating, or fell into adultery. How does he fall into it? He falls into it with the steps of Shaytan. First looking at what is haram, then having a meeting, then have this, and then one thing after another leads into the major sin. So here, in the story of Nuh, the people of Nuh, what did he do? And pay attention how crafty Shaytan is. He said, let's make some tamathil, some statues, as reminders. We see these pious people who used to call to all this good and do all this good. When we see them, they will remind us to do good deeds. They're going to remind us to do good deeds. They're going to encourage us to do khair, to do good. So the other person said, "Everybody, that's a good idea, man. What do you think? Yeah, it's a good idea. It's going to encourage us to do good." Shaytan didn't come and say, let's worship these statues. But after generations came, what happened is that then they started to worship these people. They fell into worship. Meaning one generation, two generations. And even if you look, subhanAllah, if you look at like some of the Western countries, you'll see that, you know, the hajjah, the jeddah, or the grandmother, you know, she has like a proper hijab on. And then you'll see that her daughter has, you know, half hijab on, you know, maybe her skirt's a bit shorter as well. And then you'll see that the granddaughter has nothing on at all. And we see this in the West in front of us, where they've completely gone against Islam. And this actually, when you go back and you look at some of the plans of the enemies of Islam, they said that this is one of the main objectives. The main objectives was to, you know, of us letting the Muslims come to the West, is that they would end up leaving their religion. And it did happen to an extent, but there was a revival, an Islamic revival that none of them any expected would happen. And the third and fourth generations now are coming back to Islam and practicing Islam, alhamdulillah. And we see, you know, how the Islam is spreading in the West from these generations, alhamdulillah. Nuh alayhi salam was considered the first messenger. As you look at it, we have in Arabic, we have a Nabi, a prophet, and a Rasul, a messenger. So Adam and and from the, his sons who came after, all of them were considered to be from the prophets. But then the rusul, the rusul is a messenger. Some of the scholars differed, so there's a small difference between a nabi or a rusul, and they mentioned different things about them. For example, a rusul was sent, some of them said, with a new sharia. And when you look at the foundations, all of them, the foundations were the same. All of the foundations were the same. And Allah mentions in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anbiya, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. And we have not sent any messenger before you except we reveal to him, and لا إله إلا, there's no deity except for me, so worship me, worship Allah alone. La ilaha illallah was the message sent to all of the prophets. So all of the foundation of the prophets had the same. But different prophets were sent at different times with different sharia, with different legislations. But all of the foundation of all of the prophets, as we'll see throughout their stories, are all the same. His people, how did they react to his message? And very similar to most of the prophets, how their people reacted, especially in the beginning. And Allah mentions in Surah Al-Qamar, كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونٌ وَازْدُجِرٌ. That the people of Nuh denied Nuh before him, and they denied him. They called him a madman, and he was repelled. He was threatened. This is the reality of all of the people, all of the prophets when they come, that the people deny them, that the people try to harm them. And that's why Waraqah ibn Nawfal, in the beginning of Sahih al-Bukhari, in the beginning of the revelation, when it first came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went with Khadija to her cousin, Waraqah ibn Nawfal, who had knowledge of the scripture, and he said, I wish I could be with you. He was very old at that time. He said, I wish I could be with you when your people expel you, when they kick you out. And he was surprised. My own people who love me and respect me, they're going to kick me out. And he said, no one comes who let you come with except for they are harmed. And that's a very important message, that you realize that the prophets went through difficulties to relay the message to their people. And also us as their followers, if we're going to follow their way and act upon it as well, we're going to be tested in similar ways. And we're going to go through difficulties. But subhanAllah, as we mentioned in the, I believe it was the first episode, that one of the beautiful things is that when you go through these difficulties, even though it's difficult, there's a pleasure, there's a ladha inside of it as well, alhamdulillah. So that makes dealing with the difficulties easy, alhamdulillah. And when you face these difficulties and you remember the reward you're going to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you remember why you're doing, why you're on this path, it makes it dealing with it easy, alhamdulillah. From the challenges that Nuh faced, not just his people were, when they were so against him that even at the time of death and their wasiyah, they would prescribe for their offspring, for their children, beware, be warned of Nuh, stay away from Nuh, don't listen to him, don't be fooled by him after our death. But one of the biggest trials that he faced is that the person closest to him became his enemy, and that was his wife, subhanAllah. And Allah mentioned her example in Surah At-Tahrim when he said, ضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط. The law presents an example of those who disbelieve, the wife of Nuh, of Noah, and the wife of Lut, the wife of Lot, subhanAllah. The wives of two of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they were disbelievers. And Allah described, look at the verse, Allah says, كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ. That they were under two of our righteous servants, two of our righteous prophets. They were under them. But what did they do to them? فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. That they betrayed them. And it's very important to understand what this means, فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. That they betrayed them. They betrayed them. Because betrayal, a lot of times when it comes to a husband and wife, we automatically think about, the marital issues. And even in Arabic, you say al-khiyana az-zawjiyya. When a woman cheats on her husband, or a man cheats on his wife, they call it khiyana az-zawjiyya. فَخَانَتَاهُمَّ. But that's not what's meant here, because no wife of any prophet ever cheated on him when it comes to the, you know, to marital issues and in the bed. She never did anything haram in that aspect. All of them were chaste when it came to that. How did she betray Nuh? She betrayed him obviously by agreeing with the people. When the people will call him Majnun, they will call him crazy, call him madman. She's like, yeah, he is. You know, he's saying our statues don't harm, they can't do anything. So here, your own wife is in the your enemies and supporting them. And she's supposed to be the one who stands behind you and helps you and supports you. They're like, man, you, even your own wife doesn't believe in what you're saying. Even your own wife thinks you're a madman. And on top of that as well, she would take his secrets and she would betray him with his secrets by going and telling the people and the leaders that so-and-so accepted Islam. So-and-so followed the da'wah. And what would happen to them after that? They would be punished. They would be tortured. So they would leave their religion. So it was a big test. And that's it's important to realize when you get involved in the da'wah or you start to practice your deen, that sometimes your biggest enemy will be those closest to you. And even when I talked about my experience giving da'wah in some videos, I mentioned that the main ones who attacked my da'wah and tried to stop the spread of my da'wah, I'm a teacher. I'm just trying to teach. I'm not, you know, I'm calling people to Quran and Sunnah and calling people to good, alhamdulillah. That's what I aim to do. But the main obstacles I faced, and the main, you know, I don't like to call them enemies because they're enemies of my brothers, but that's what they became, or they made me their enemy, Allah Mustan. It was from the Muslims, not from the non-Muslims. Those who are supposed to be closest to me, those who are supposed to support me, those who are supposed to assist me and help me and be with me, they were the ones who were against me. A'udhu billah, subhanAllah. In the story of Nuh, Allah shows us a beautiful example of how a da'i should be. And I think it's very important upon the du'at that they study the stories of the prophets, especially Nuh and his da'wah. First of all, we look at the patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that he was with his people. فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. That he remained amongst his people 1,000 years minus 50, meaning 950 years, giving them da'wah for 950 years. And a lot of times when it comes to our patience, and we have very limited patience when it comes to giving da'wah, when it comes to, you know, the guy, we call a person to Islam a couple of times, we try to call someone back to Islam a couple of times, and we find, subhanAllah, immediately that we give up and we give up hope on them, and khalas, they become hatab bi jahannam. They're going to be, you know, coals of the hellfire, and to hell with them, and we don't focus on them. But you need to take this example of Nuh, the patience that he had. And I'm going to show you in a bit the outcome, the results, because the results of his da'wah, yani, like many of the prophets, it wasn't a lot. We know the story we mentioned before about a prophet that will come Yawm al-Qiyamah and he only has a couple of followers, a handful of followers. Some of them have, you know, two followers. Some of them have one follower. Some have no followers. No one accepted their da'wah, but they relay the message. That's what's important upon us, is the du'at is not about who accepts it, but is that we perform our duty as Muslims by relaying the message. Also, something very interesting in the story of Nuh alayhi salam is that he took different approaches. He had different approaches in how he gave his da'wah. And the scholars mentioned in the different approaches and different hikmah, wisdom behind this. And some of them said, you know, trying different styles, but also at the same time, maybe this style or this approach might work with this individual, but it won't work with that individual. So you see which approach is better for this person, which approach is better for that person. So he used different styles and different approaches in his da'wah. And also, one of the things that the scholars mention when you as a reflection, and you look in Surah Nuh, in chapter 71, the Surah of Nuh alayhi salam, that also they said the fact that he changed up his styles, that means that perhaps when he realized something wasn't working, that he held himself to account and said, look, this isn't working. Let me try this approach. Okay, this approach, then we're going to try that approach. That's very important that we look And we see why do certain things work and why do certain things don't work. Alhamdulillah, a lot of the things now online, you have, you know, you have the different, insights and things you can get to see what's working, when it's working, when it's not working. And we need to take advantage of those things to, you know, constantly try to improve ourselves. And even sometimes, you know, they always talk about, like the athletes. It's very important for the people who give da'wah. If you look at an athlete or, a competitor and a professional athlete, they're always looking at film. Always looking at film to see, you know, what they did wrong in their last fight, in their last match, whatever it was. And also if they look at the film of their opponents as well to learn. So a lot of times when we lecture, if we go back and look, or we're giving da'wah, we go back and look at what we did and we hold ourselves to account, we're going to see what went wrong. Like, let's see, for example, if we're at a da'wah table and we're not getting good outcomes, but in the past we were getting good outcomes. So what's going on? What changed? What are we doing wrong? That we look into the approaches that we're using, the styles we're using to see, you know, what's going on to be able to, what's going wrong to be able to improve in our da'wah, inshallah ta'ala. If we look at the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and something, subhanAllah, I don't want to, you know, just take the whole episode just reflecting on the surah, but it's very deep if you look at the meanings that come in the surah, subhanAllah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the surah, and he showing the message that he came with to his people. And he's, when Allah said, "Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi, an anzir qawmaka min qabli an ya'tiyahum adhabun aleem." That Allah sent to them, and this is from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he sends the messengers. The people, they went astray. They committed the gravest sin, which is to join partners with Allah. But yet, subhanAllah, they commit partners with Allah, and Allah sends them the message as a chance for them to come back, to repent, to come back to Allah. Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi an anzir qawmaka min qabli an ya'tiyahum adhabun aleem. That we sent Nuh to his people to warn them before a painful punishment comes to you. And he said to them, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِي إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. That, O my people, I am indeed a clear warner for you. أَنِعْبُدَ اللَّهُ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ. To obey Allah and to have taqwa, to have the consciousness of Allah in your life and to obey Him. This is what the messengers were calling their people to. And then he says, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ. That Allah, He will forgive you of your sins. And then as the verses continue, He shows us the different styles and the approaches that He used in giving the da'wah. From verse 5 onwards, when He said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعُوتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. Oh Allah, I called my people and I invited them during the night and during the day. During the night and during the day. Different styles, different times, different approaches to see which one has worked. If it didn't work in the daytime, let's try it at nighttime. This person is a night person, let me approach him in the night. This person is a daytime person, let me approach him. This is very important to understand as a da'i, that there are certain times for certain places that might be good for certain people. This person, he's coming home from work at nighttime. He's not a night person. Not a good time to talk to him. Not a good time to advise him. He's a morning person. Let's talk to him in the morning. This is a good area to talk to these people. It's not a good area to talk to those people. What did he say about what was the response of his people? فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. He said, my invitation, my da'wah would only increase them in flight, meaning that they're running away from him, running away from the truth, won't accept it. Not just that. Pay attention to the story. SubhanAllah. وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ. And every time I called them, and what's he calling to? Listen what he says. What is he calling to? لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. For you to forgive them. They committed the gravest sin. They joined partners with you, Ya Allah. But yet, we're calling them back to you for you to forgive them. So, كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. Every time I call them for you to forgive them, جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ. That they put their fingers into their ears. وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ. They took their thiyab, their clothes, and they would cover up their heads with their thiyab, with their garments, so they wouldn't hear. وَأَصَرُّوا, and they persisted. وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا, and they became very, very arrogant as well. So it wasn't just not listening, but there was an persistency on not listening and rejecting the da'wah, and also on top of that, being arrogant. Did Nuh give up alayhi salam? He He said, "Thumma inni da'awtahum jihara," and then I invited them publicly. "Thumma inni alantu lahum," and then I announced to them. "Wasrartu lahum," and I was secret when I gave da'wah to them. And wasrartu lahum israra, and I was confined in secrecy. I talked to them. So he gave open da'wah, secret da'wah, every type of da'wah you can imagine. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He said that I told them, seek forgiveness from your Lord. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. That indeed, he is the all-forgiving subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something amazing in these ayat from verses 10 onwards. A man came to Imam al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, and he complained to him that there was a drought, and they needed to have some rain. So he read these verses, which I'm about to read to you from Surah An-Nur. He told him to make istighfar. He told him, make istighfar. And the next person came to him and also complained that Allah hadn't given him a child and he needed a child. Another person came, complained that he was poor. Another person said that he was having problems on his farm. Each person that came to him, he gave them the same piece of advice, to make istighfar. And then when one of his students said, "Ya Abu Sa'id," he said, "Every time a person comes to you and asks, you tell them that the same thing." And he complained about this, he complained about that. Each one you say, make istighfar. And he said, "It's not what I said, but it's what Allah said in Surah Nuh. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا." What comes after that in verse 11? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. That Allah can send down to you continuing showers. وَيُمْدِدَكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And Allah will increase you in amwal, in money, in wealth, and baneen, in your children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And He will provide for you gardens and provide for you rivers. Then the question comes, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. Why don't you turn back to Allah and hope that you will be rewarded by Allah? And He is the one who created you in stages. And then he continues in the story to show about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the style of the Quran all of the time. We see in the style of the Quran, we see here in the da'wah of the Anbiya as well, that they would call, for their people, that Allah called His creation, and the prophets called the people as well to reflect on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which would bring them back to the ibadah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one, without joining any partners with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we reflect on the story of Nuh alayhi salam and his da'wah, all of the effort he made, all of the approaches that he tried, and all of these years, what were the results in the end? وَمَا آمَنَ مَعْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. That only a few of his people believed. Allah told us in Surah 2. وَمَا آمَنَ مَعْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. That only a few of his people believed. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said there were only 80 people who believed in Nuh. Allahu Akbar. Yani, if you were someone working on a da'wah table and you only had 80 shahadas, you'd be like, man, that's not a lot, you know? You're a da'wah organization, an organization, not just an individual, an organization. And you have 80 shahadas, these guys are not giving good da'wah. Something's wrong. Why are people not accepting Islam? Only 80 shahadas, you know? Here's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just any prophet, by the way, because Nuh, he's from Ulul Azmi, the five prophets who have the high status, as Allah mentioned them in the Quran, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned them, which is Nuh alayhi salam, and Ibrahim, and Musa, and Isa, and our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, on all of them be peace. SubhanAllah. He's from the five prophets who have that high status, and yet only 80 people believed in his da'wah, subhanAllah. Only 80 people followed him. And not just any people. The people who followed him, they were from the weak, from the ones who were considered, the lower ones in society. And that's an important message for all of us to understand, because a lot of times you find that many people focus on the celebrities. And no doubt, alhamdulillah, that if a celebrity or someone who's famous were to believe, it has a big impact. So that is something we should focus on. But we shouldn't leave what we say, the ras mal, which is the foundation, because a lot of times it's the poor or the middle class who are more religiously inclined and the ones who are more practicing. So we need to focus on our core followers. A lot of times you're going to find that they're the ones who are who might not be the rich. They might not be the successful. But alhamdulillah, you can see even for us as Muslims, alhamdulillah, that's not always the case. We have a lot of people who are religious. At the same time, we have a lot of our, you know, our doctors and our engineers and our businessmen who are also very religiously inclined, alhamdulillah. And then we have with us our brothers who are, you know, who are not that rich and not that well off. So all of us, alhamdulillah, are one, and we're one team, and all of us, inshallah, striving for our ummah and striving for Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. So the people of Nuh, they came with different things to distract him from the da'wah, to push him away from the da'wah. And one of the things, even though he had a small following, they wanted him to leave them as well. They said, look, even if you want us to listen to you, not necessarily just follow you, but even for us to listen to you and to listen to your message, then you have to get rid of those, you know, lowly commoners. Get rid of the lowly commoners. What was the reply of Nuh alayhi salam? وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And there's no way I'm going to drive out those who have believed. These are my brothers. These are the ones who have believed. And he said in the other verse, and he, وَيَا قَوْمِ مَن يَنصُرُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ إِن طَرَدْتُهُمْ. Who is going to protect me from Allah if I would drive them away? These are believers. They have a right. They have a haqq upon me. I'm not going to throw them out. I'm not going to kick them out. They believed, and they believed, alhamdulillah, and they're upon khair, upon good. When you look into the reply to his da'wah, it's very small, but it continued to get worse and worse as well. And each generation became worse. It became more difficult for him. They made it, you know, they fought against his da'wah even more. Even they said in three generations that no one believed at all. And imagine three generations that none of them believed at all. After that, they said to Nuh, as Allah told us in Surah Hud. And if you want to see the story in detail, go back to these ayat in Surah Hud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in detail. You have Surah Nuh itself, you have Surah Hud, and also in Surah Al-Qamar, all throughout the Quran. But these surahs that we're focusing on here are mostly, these ayat are mostly taken from these three surahs. In Surah Hud, Allah said, the people of Nuh, after all of this da'wah, receiving all of this message, قَالُوا يَا نُوح قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا. They said, oh Nuh, you have disputed us, and you've been frequent in dispute. So they said to him, فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. So bring what you're saying if you are really truthful. And subhanAllah, now they've challenged not just Nuh, but they've challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuh has come as a warner. He's warning about the punishment. He's warning about the punishment. And they're saying, bring it on if you're honest. So they challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the outcome of what happened? Inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue in the next episode. And I realized partway through the lecture that I forgot to mention the story of Idris alayhi salam, subhanAllah. And because last week we missed last week's lesson, so it was in my mind that we've already done it. And I was doing a lot of research on Nuh. And subhanAllah, just it slipped my mind that we hadn't talked about Idris. So I guess we have to do a bit of backtracking probably at the end of the next episode, which is not, you know, proper when it comes to, you know, how it went in the time frame. But nonetheless, inshallah, we'll still benefit from the story of Idris. We mentioned in the last episode that there's something very unique and very beneficial in his da'wah that I really want us to focus on, especially the brothers and sisters who are involved in da'wah, something really that will benefit from the story of Idris. So inshallah, we'll wrap up next week with the story of Nuh alayhi salam, not too much longer to go than that, inshallah ta'ala, and then the story of Idris. And we might have a bit of time next week as well to cover part of the story of Hud alayhi salam, inshallah ta'ala. Until next week, Allahu alam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad, wa jazakum allahu khairan, wa salam alaykum wa rahmatullah.